Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and I invite you to turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter division, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've been in a series of messages, and we'll continue those, about the church really dying for change. There's a book out by that is really totally in the other direction of what we're talking about. But I do believe that the 21st century church certainly needs some change. And if nothing else, we need revival, amen? The church of the living God needs that. But we need to understand the source of the power of the church. The source of our authority is also needed. Now, we talked last week about the power being the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's power, and I hope you have prayed for that today in this service. I think that any believer who does not pray for that for their local church and a Sunday morning service, not only that, but in our lives, is remiss. But what is the authority of the local church? What is the authority of the local church? Well, the authority of the local church is the Bible, the Word of God. We need to get back to understanding that this is God's inspired Word. And the Bible is the authority for what we do, what we believe, the way we practice, and the principles of the church. 2 Timothy 3:13, Paul writing to then young Timothy, giving him instruction, says something about the Word of God in these verses. 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul saying to Timothy, people are going to try to destroy the truth and get away from the truth and teach anything but the truth, but you continue in the truth and what you are taught, and remember who taught you. Verse 15, and that from a child, how important that is. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Notice the word there, holy. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now watch these verses. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much of it? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the preacher, the man of God may be perfect or complete, or have something that is completed throughly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Totally furnished by the Word of God unto all good works. We're living in a very strange culture today in America, are we not? I think America's in a mess. I don't know about you, but I believe we're in a mess. Now, I salute the flag, and I'm a patriot, and I love America and all of that, but America's in a mess. And we can certainly see it in our culture. Families are in a mess. High divorce rate, families breaking up all the time. Probably not hardly anybody in this building, but what you have faced that somewhere along the way in your family. The terrible, tragic thing called divorce. God's ideal is that a man and woman stay together and remain married for a lifetime. Amen? And only death should part. Now, that's not to look down on someone who has been divorced, you understand, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but still, that's God's will. That's God's plan. We have drugs in our culture. We call them alcoholics and say they have a disease. God calls them drunkards. We need to get back to the Bible wording. Amen? God says they're drunkards. It's not a disease. It's weird if we package and promote and get tax off a disease. Suppose we decided to tax cancer. But it's not a disease. It's a choice that people make. We are aborting children left and right. We saw in the news this past week They found the remains of a baby that had been brought to full term, placed in a plastic bag, thrown in a lake. What in the world is wrong with our society? We're in a mess. We have all of that. Homosexuality, lesbians demanding their rights, saying that their lifestyle should be respected. Listen, they can try to cram that down my throat all they want to, but they'll never cram it down my throat. They need to be saved. We need to love them. And they are sinners just like those who are practicing whoremongering. But they need to be saved. And just like the whoremonger changes his lifestyle when he gets saved, the homosexual and lesbian should change their lifestyle when they get saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Doesn't mean we hate them. I'm not homophobic. Baloney on that stuff. I'm not homophobic. I love them and I'll tell them how to be saved. But I'm not going to endorse sin and say what you say is all right. But we're living in that kind of deal. Education, the quality of education has dropped down. I was reading an article this week that said, I believe it was like this, 50% of those who have taken the ACT test and all of that have, 50% of them can't even read on a level high enough to get them in college. Well, education has dropped down in our society. I'm just giving you some things that have happened. And we have an increasingly unhappy world and an increasingly unhappy bunch of people. Look at Paris Hilton. I hate to bring it up again. We've heard a lot about Paris Hilton. But look at her. All the money you could ever dream of, all the fame, all the popularity, all that. You see, that's not what makes people happy. If she could just meet Jesus, that changed her to be a sweet, precious little Christian young lady if she could just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But why has all this happened? I think it's happened because we have moved away from the Word of God and from God. Very simply put, you say, well, that's too simplistic. Really, it isn't. That's exactly why we're in the mess we're in. We have gotten away from the Bible and God. And let me just say this. We cannot lay all the blame at the feet of the atheists and agnostics and infidels. A great deal of the blame has to be laid at the churches of America. And I might add this. Even the Bible-believing churches of America. A great deal of the blame needs to be laid at our feet. We got away from the Bible. We wanted to be liked and loved. And we wanted to be popular so we wouldn't say anything. And we have allowed a lot of this because we didn't take a loud verbal stand and other stands for it. But what is real true fulfillment in life? True fulfillment is this: being born again and obeying the Lord. Being saved and then living for Jesus. Now, if you get saved and then you choose somewhere in your life to continue living in sin, you're not going to be a happy person. You're going to be a miserable camper. Amen. But if you're saved and you're walking in obedience with the Lord, you're going to be a happy person. And you'll have something in your hand that'll guide you. It will be called the Holy Bible. The H-O-L-Y, Holy Bible, is what Paul said it was. He said it to Timothy that it is the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, we call them. And that means the writings. But these are not just regular writings. These are God's writings. It's the Holy Bible, God's Holy Word, God's Holy Scripture. The psalmist said in 119:89 that the Word of God was established in heaven forever. As a matter of fact, before it was ever revealed, it was established in heaven. It's always been the established Word of God. God has just revealed His Word through human instrumentality later on. Dr. Clarence Sexton, in one of his books, said it is God's fixed point of reference in a world that is always changing. And that's true, isn't it? God's fixed point of reference in a world that is always changing. Here it is. This is the infallible, inerrant, unchangeable Word of the living God, the Holy Bible. The Quran is not God's Word. If it is, this is a lie. Throw it away. The Quran is not the Word of God, but the Bible is the Holy Word of God, and it deals with eternal things. And yet, it is so valuable. And yet I don't know of any book in America that is more neglected, even by Christians, than this book, the Holy Word of God. You say, well, I don't neglect it. Well, amen to you. God bless you. Keep up the good work. But I can tell you, a lot of God's people neglect the Bible. They just neglect. And there is no book like this book. Sometimes I see some ancient documents or old documents that are very interesting. Stephanie Houston had some of the prayer meeting that was in her family, and it went back to the Holocaust and some of those things, and it showed Hitler and showed some of the people that were involved in those pictures. Those are real valuable documents that they have in their family and their heritage. But no document is as valuable as this document. We take it for granted. This is God's Word. This is the Holy Bible. And so we believe in the inspiration of all Scripture. Look at verse 16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
All of it. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. As one preacher said, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all the inspired Word of God. Amen. Every last jot and tittle, it is the inspired Word of God. And listen, don't try to tell me that God could not preserve and inspire and then preserve His Word and bring it to us in perfection today. Our God could, did, and has done that for us. We have the Word of God, the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Infallible simply means it has no errors. Inerrant, infallible. And we believe in the plenary, verbal teaching. What do we mean? Every word of the Word of God is inspired. And all of it, plenary, every last bit of it. We believe that at our church. We practice that. This church believes that. Our schools that we're associated with believe that this is the Word of God, or we would not associate with them. Some of the great battles of yesteryear that J. Frank Norris and others have fought were over the issue, is the Bible the inspired Word of God? And they fought it, and it is, and we know that it is today. So we believe the inspiration of all Scripture. Now some people say it's inspired in spots, and then they have to be inspired to tell us which spots are inspired spots. You got a problem with that. Suppose I told you there's a lot of good watermelons out there in the watermelon patch. Now, half of them are poison, half of them are good. Help yourself. I think you'd say to me, point out the good ones. Amen? Well, that's ridiculous. It is the Word of God. It's not inspired in spots. The whole Bible is inspired. Some say, well, the writers were inspired. No, not just the writers, my friend. Shakespeare was inspired to write his writings. He was inspired to write, and Socrates and Plato and some of the others. But these writers were not just inspired, although they were controlled. The very words they wrote, God had them write the right words, the correct words. And He would not let them write anything in the original autographs and then the preserved Word of God that we have today, but what He wanted in the Bible. So the writers were not just the inspired ones, the words that He gave to men. Some say the thoughts were inspired, or that the Bible contains the Word of God. No, my friend, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. We believe that. And it doesn't just contain the Word of God. The Scripture says that God gave the words. Now, we say, well, the writers were inspired and they had the thoughts. Did you realize, according to the Bible, that sometimes they did not even know what they were writing about? They didn't even understand what they were writing about. I don't have time to go through all of that. I invite you sometime to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And when they're talking about it, the Scripture says there that the very prophets had to study the Scriptures, the very Scriptures they wrote, in order to understand those Scriptures. Daniel, who wrote the book of Daniel, said that he understood not what he was writing. Read it. He didn't fully understand the end time events. He wrote what God told him to write because it was the inspired Word of God, whether he understood it completely or not. And I can tell you the archaeologists' spades and shovels have never unearthed anything that will contradict the Word of God if they are being honest about it. They've never disproven the Bible. Why? It is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration. The word inspiration means God-breathed. And I'll tell you, God cannot lie. Now, the devil can lie, and the Bible contains some lies. But they are the devil's lies, and it's only the accurate account of the lies that the devil told. But the Bible presents it perfectly as the devil said it, whether it was in the temptation of Christ or whatever it may be. One of the things we have to be careful about the Bible, this inspired holy word of God, is taking it out of context. And that's where you get all of the cults. They take the Bible out of context. That's where you get all of those that are off the wall about salvation by works instead of salvation by grace. They take words out of context. For instance, the Bible says in one place that Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, I can prove to you that you ought to go out and hang yourself, because somewhere else in the Bible it says, go and do thou likewise. Amen? But that's not what it's talking about. That's taking it out of context. And we have to interpret the Bible in light of all other scriptures. That is a very important principle of Bible interpretation, hermeneutics, and all of that that you're not interested in so much. But you have to interpret all of the Word of God in light of all of the rest of the Word of God, or you get in a mess and you'll teach the wrong thing. And that's what happens. But thank God we have the completed Word of God. And it is the entire Bible that is God-breathed. The whole Word of God. In Matthew 4:4, let's look there just a second. If you can turn there very quickly, Matthew 4:4. And this has to do with the temptation of Christ. But Christ said his word was totally inspired. Look at what he says in Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth where? From where? Out of the mouth of God. The Bible. Every word out of the mouth of God. Preserved for us today. The entire Bible. And friends, God only wrote one book. And this book, I hope, is in your hand. Hold up your Bible a second if you have one. Look at this. Just look around you. Isn't that beautiful? We are Bible believers. We believe this book. And you hold in your hand the only book that God ever wrote, the completed canon of Scripture, the whole Word of God inspired. And I think that's exciting. The Creator of the world, the one who made the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies and things you and I cannot even fathom, this same Almighty God has given us His Word. He wrote the book. It's the book. It's the Word of God. God wrote the book. And that was settled even before it was given. What we need today, we don't need extra biblical information like these knuckleheads are giving us. What we need is illumination of the Word of God. We need to read it and ask God to open our eyes that we might understand it, and then by His grace do what it says. We need illumination. We don't need any extra biblical inspiration as some people claim to have today. Now, what about the necessity of all the Scripture? The necessity of all the Scripture. Is it necessary that it's all of it? Well, again, that's what he said in verse 16. All, A-double-L, little word, but a word with great impact, all of Scripture. He's not saying Scripture in general, but all of it. Every Scripture. Every book of the Bible. Listen to me, class. Every book of the Bible should be read. Every chapter of the Bible should be read. Every verse of the Bible, even the begets, should be read. And every word of the Bible should be read. It is God's Word. And he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here's what I find. Most people know the Bible in part. Just parts of it. A lot of Christians have never read the whole Word of God. I heard a preacher say recently, the greatest denomination in the world is the denomination of ignorant brethren. Amen? It is. There's so many Christians who are ignorant to the Word of God. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, we're supposed to read all of the Bible, all of the Word of God. Have you ever done one of those big puzzles? I hate them, and I hate people that know how to do them. No, I don't hate them, but have you ever worked one of them and two or three pieces were missing? Or even one piece? One little piece in the painting, the picture that it portrays or whatever it is missing. Well, that's the way it is when we leave any of the Word of God out. A piece is missing and it's not complete, the smallest piece of the Word of God. The Bible, God intends for us to read all of it. And each book is just a part of the whole, each verse. And God wants us to read all of it. Now, if you neglect one book, you don't have the whole. If you neglect one part of the Bible, you do not have the whole picture of the whole puzzle. And God wants us to grow, and God wants us to be completed. God wants us to be mature. God wants us to become what He wants us to become. And if we're going to do it, we're going to have to read books like Habakkuk. We're going to have to read books like Philemon. We're going to have to read books like Joel and Obadiah and other books that we may think. And by the way, when we're talking about minor prophets, that doesn't mean they're less important than the major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, but it simply means they're a little bit smaller, but they're very much as important. Read the book of Hosea. I love the book of Hosea. I love to read anybody's book that names his wife Gomer, but at any rate, I love to read the book and the story that's in that book. But read the whole Word of God, because this is what the book is about. Every Christian should read the Bible, amen? We ought to search the Word of God. I don't know of anything I enjoy any more than sitting down in quietness and just reading the book. And then maybe having prayer time, but just reading this book and letting God minister to my heart and reprimand me. We need to read it. We need to memorize the Word of God. We need to do everything that we can to meditate on the Scriptures. Meditate means chew on it, like a cow chewing the cud. Chew on the Bible. Think about the Bible. Let the Bible be part of your brain, part of your mind, part of your emotion, part of your daily thought processes. Think about, meditate on the blessed Word of God. Every Christian ought to read the Bible. We say we ought to have a balanced life. Some people have written books on the balanced Christian life. And some of that is good. I've read one about that. But what we ought to say is the complete Christian life. And the complete Christian life is based on the Word of God. And if we want a complete Christian life, we've got to get it from the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures, all of them are inspired. And according to the Bible, all of them are absolutely necessary. Now here's the third thing. The sufficiency of all Scripture. The Bible is sufficient. Do you believe that today? The Bible is sufficient. It can handle anything. The Bible is God's holy inspired word. It is all sufficient. We have an all sufficient Savior, and we have an all sufficient Bible. It is sufficient for everything that we face. Now, if you want to know something about man, the best way is not just to study man. The best way is to study the Bible. Who made man? Who knows more about man than God? Who knows as much about man as God? Nobody. If you want to know about man, you don't need to go to some psychology class and get in a circle and share to try to figure out each other. You just need to get in this book. It'll tell you what's wrong with man, where man's going, why we're here, and that we're sinners, and we need a Savior, and we need to be born again. We learn all of that from the Word of God. God tells us that in John 2:25. You want to know about children? You don't have to study children. You just have to go to the Word of God. God tells us what they're like. God tells us that they're conceived in sin. God tells us about their depraved condition, their lost condition. God tells us how to discipline them. God tells us that we should discipline them and do it in the biblical way, in the right way. God tells us all of that. If we want to know how to handle children, the best thing to do is not read another psychiatry book, but to read the Word of God. Husbands, who made your wife? We hear so much about men saying, well, women are so complex. Be careful, guys. Don't say amen. Women are so complex. Who can understand a woman? And I can hear the woman saying, men are so, not complex, so dumb. Who can understand a man? Thank you, choir. I appreciate that help. Who can understand a man? Well, I'll tell you how we understand our wives, men. We read the Bible. Read things like 1 Peter 3:7, where God tells us that if we'll treat them right and we'll understand submission and our heart and our attitude toward them, things will work out in the family. I'm just simply saying the Word of God is sufficient. God tells you how to work out your problems. God tells you how to run the home, how to run the family. God tells us how to run this country. The reason we've gotten away from it and the Supreme Court is ignoring this book. Our laws and the laws in Europe are based on this book. And lawyers used to study. They've stopped them now, but that used to be the main textbook. They'd study in law and jurisprudence in order to learn what law really ought to be. Now we live in relationship, existentialism, and so on and so forth. And that's a sad thing. We need the Word of God. And I'm glad that the Bible meets every need that we have. You want to be saved? How do you know how to be saved? Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're not sure of it, go to the Bible. Don't just take my word for it. Take God's word for it. The Bible says you're a sinner. All of us are sinners. The Bible says Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins. And if you're willing to repent of your sins and turn from and to Jesus Christ and have a change in your heart, and really love Him and fall in love with Him and give Him your whole life and let Him be the Lord of your life, then, my friend, you can be saved. But if you want to hang on to sin and hold on to sin and you're not willing to do that, the Bible says you remain lost and condemned and you could die any time. And if you did, the Bible says you'd go to hell. You'd spend eternity separated from God. What a sad thing that anybody has to die and go to hell. I can't imagine what it's like. I thank God that I'll never know fully. I mean, God will probably help us to understand what He saved us from someday when we get to heaven. But I cannot imagine what it would be like to die and go to hell. Awful place. But my friend, I can tell you don't have to go. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God said so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll just trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. How do we know what to believe? See, I'm a Baptist by conviction. How many of you are Baptists by conviction? Say amen. Well, that's pretty good, not bad. Better than I thought. Do I believe only Baptists are going to heaven? No. Of course not. Anybody that is saved by the grace of God is going to go to heaven. But I can tell you it's real hard to go to heaven in some denominations and some churches because they don't teach the gospel. They do not preach the gospel. They preach everything else in the world. Works is what it's all about. Everything from burning candles to baptismal regeneration. We're saved by grace. And then how do we know that? How do we know how to believe that as a church? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. How do we know what to believe about the Holy Spirit? Because of the Bible. How do we know what to believe about death? I'm glad the Bible teaches us about death, aren't you? Wouldn't it be morbid if people died and somebody said, well, what happened? They said, well, I have no idea. You can't tell what happened to them. I have no idea. They just died. That's it. They died. But aren't you glad we can say no if they're saved? If they knew Jesus Christ, immediately when they drew the last breath. One of our dear saints, Ms. Green, went home to be with the Lord the other morning. About 7 or 8 o'clock, she drew her last breath. The daughter, one of them, described it to us. Sort of a bittersweet thing, but immediately she went to be with Jesus Christ. Her body will be buried on Monday, but her soul and spirit are in existence with Jesus right now. What's going to happen in the future? One of these days, Christ is going to come. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. That means all Baptists go to heaven first. Amen? The dead in Christ rise first. Or all whatever. And then we which remain alive, we're going to be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll both be with the Lord forevermore. Amen. And we'll be given a new body. We're not teaching soul sleep. The body's in the grave, and the Bible says it's a very sweet term, like sleep. You know, like some of you are doing right now, rest. Sleep. Sleep. Sleep is peaceful, isn't it? I got some of it last night. Not as much as I wanted, but I enjoyed it. As far as I know, I mean, I woke up refreshed, enjoyed sleep. How do we know that? The Bible tells me so. How do we know about angels? Because of what the Bible says. The Bible, the angels have no saving merit. Angels should not be prayed to. Amen? And don't put an angel in your car like the old Saint Christopher to think that that angel is going to protect you. It won't be the statue. There'll be angels. I believe angels are around and they do protect you. And I believe they're out there and all of that. But we don't worship them. How do we know that? Because the Bible says don't do that. We worship the Holy Trinity and that's it. We don't worship anyone else. How do we know about immorality? How do we know about homosexuality? How do we know about those things? Why do we stand on those things? Because the Bible tells us so. Well, it'd be a lot easier to say, well, forget that. I'll just say, hey, that's another lifestyle. That's fine. Let's just all get along with it. And you do your thing. I'll do my thing. It's okay for you. It's okay for me. What I do is okay. What you do is okay. No, we can't because of the Bible. Because of the Word of God. And so we take our philosophy, our Bible, our life goals, all of that comes from the Bible. And look at what he says about the Holy Word of God. This inspired Word is profitable for doctrine, which we've mentioned, for reproof. The Bible's profitable for reproof. You know, God's people sometimes need reproving. Nobody likes to be reproved. Nobody likes that. I don't like it. Most people don't like it. But sometimes we need to be reproved. And the Bible is God's word for reproving us. It points out where we're wrong. Nobody likes to be wrong, but the Bible points it out. He says it is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Do you know some Christians sometimes need to be corrected? And that's why God has given us the word of God. Correction. What's right? Do what's right. Correct it. Get it right in your life. Correct it. And then he says, it is good for instruction in righteousness. We don't like to think about righteousness. That's why most people don't want to get saved. They don't want to live righteous lives. And they say, well, look, it'll mess up my lifestyle. No, the Bible is given to us for instruction in righteousness. How are we going to know the right way to live? And then the Holy Spirit applies that instruction to our hearts. He applies it to our hearts and we live it out in our lives. The Holy Spirit does that. That the man of God may be perfect. That means mature. That he may be provided with what he needs. I'm glad God not only called me to preach, but he provided me with something to preach. This is what I need to preach. He provided me with his word. And by God's grace, that's exactly what I'm going to preach, is the blessed word of God. And God wants us to do that. It's complete. If you want to know something, friend, don't reach on your shelf in your library and get another book. Reach up and get this book first. This should always be the first step. This book. Now, I use books that are extra biblical, and I use them even on my computer. I have probably 10 different commentaries that are in that computer, and I can click on it and find out what somebody else said. About half of them are liberal and half of them don't know what they're saying. The other half, you get some good stuff sometimes. You can use it as an illustration. But the first thing I try to go to is always this book. Read it through, read the passage, pray about the passage, ask God to illuminate the passage, do all of that, see what God shows us, and then go from there. If you want to know, if you want the answers, if you want the information, go to God's Word, and then after you go to God's Word, don't go from God's Word. Amen. Doesn't do any good to go to it and then go from it. Go to it and stay with it. Amen? Stick with it. It is the inspired Word of God, and it is something that will bring us to that, and it will thoroughly furnish us. I like to be thoroughly furnished. It will thoroughly furnish us. In other words, he's saying the Word of God gives us all of the equipment that we need to do what God has told us to do. Here it is. Here's the equipment. You say, where's my equipment? There it is. There's the equipment. Just like a surgeon's scaffold that he has to have as equipment to do his surgery, we have the Word of God. This is our main equipment. It is the blessed Bible, the blessed book, the blessed Word of God, and I'm thankful we have it. God's Word, I'm glad, is more powerful than anything on the face of the earth as far as being perfect and right. It's more powerful than man's word. Amen? It's more authoritative than man's word. This is God's book. I'm glad it's clearer than a lot of men's word. The Word of God is convicting. Amen? I mean, it's convicting, I believe. I can stand and preach about what the Bible says is wrong, and God blesses it and convicts people. It is a safeguard for man. It is the doctrine that we believe. It is the Word of God. What should our attitude be about the book today? The 21st century needs to return to the Bible. We need to get back to the Bible. There's a radio program called Back to the Bible. That's exactly what we need. We need to get in it. We need to read it. We need to read all of it. We need to understand that it has the answers. We need to know it. We need to go to it. And then we need to go out and live it for the glory of God. The authority for our church is this book. That's what we teach. That's what we preach. And the authority for telling you you can get to heaven by grace is this book. You can be saved by grace today. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to join a church to get it. You don't have to be baptized to get it. You don't have to have good works to get it. You have to come to Jesus and realize you're bankrupt, you're lost, you're on your way to hell, you're sinful, you're a sinner. And until you come to that place, my friend, you won't ever be saved. You've got to come to that place. I do believe in our churches there are a lot of people. There are a number of people who went through a form. I think there's some kids who went forward to please mama and daddy, or they went forward just to go through the motion, but their lives never changed. They don't like church. They don't like God's people. They're teenagers now, and they'd rather be out there partying and drinking and doing drugs and all of that kind of thing than anything else. Something's wrong with that, my friend. You see, the Bible says we'll repent and make him Lord of our life, and we'll do our best by God's grace to love him every day and live for him. That's what the Bible says. We need a revolution in our church back to the Bible and all that it teaches and its standards. Let's stand, please.